small.
But it also came to my attention that many of them really don't know that much about the Sabbath and how to keep it, and they are having a very difficult time with that now. So this panel is going to get down to the practical issues of how to help our young people understand and commit to the Sabbath and to Christ through the Sabbath. So hope to see all ministers, youth workers, and parents there, and we'll have a real rousing session. Thank you. The Sabbath and Modern Youth, that's the panel you're at. We've heard a lot here at this seminar about the Sabbath. We've heard mostly why the Sabbath and what the Sabbath is, but what we want to do is talk about how to help our young people with the Sabbath. So we also thought that rather than you asking us questions when you might be able to answer better than we thought we would ask you the questions and let you answer them, and that way we can put our heads together and we can all work together as a team to solve some of the problems that we've had in the past. So to tell you what we had in mind, I'd like to introduce Vanessa Skidmore from the Garden Grove United Church of God. Vanessa.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask you guys to get in groups of maybe 10 if we have enough, possibly four groups. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask some questions, and you guys are just going to discuss the questions for about 8 minutes. And then we'll have a reporter for each group, and you guys will give the report, and then we'll discuss the topic. Okay, so if you guys can get into groups, about four groups, what we're going to do is we're going to have maybe a circle of chairs here, one here, and then a couple up front. If you guys can take your chairs out and do that, please.
Remember to hang up when you're in the
chair. I know, that's what I was going to say next, when they're in their groups. I think we might be able to have two groups up front and maybe two on the side. Everyone's good. Yeah, that's good. They have one in the middle. That looks good.
Oh, see,
they're way back there. People in the back, if you guys want to move forward a little so you're not so far away from us. You're okay? Okay. Okay, once you're in your groups now, what we want to do is have a reporter for each group. Did you want to pick me? Okay. And the way we're going to pick the reporter is when everyone's in their groups, we're going to point at the person that you think should be the reporter. Okay?
And who...
Is everyone ready in their groups? What?
On count of three. Yeah.
Okay. Now on the count of three, you guys are going to point at the reporter or the person you think should be the reporter. One, two, three. Okay. And whoever has the most fingers pointed at. Okay. Does everyone have a reporter? Yeah? Okay, everyone has a reporter? Okay, now to introduce the first topic, here's Mr. Jacobs.
Okay, yesterday Dr. Bakayoki said that the Catholic Church turned the Sabbath from the feast day to a fast day, and the idea was to turn people off to the Sabbath. And I think, from what I've heard in the past, many of us have kind of inadvertently done that with our children. It was kind of a drag for them. And consequently, a lot of them are kind of turned off toward Christ and toward the church. So we don't really know how to celebrate the Sabbath the way we ought to, many of us feel. So what we need to do is learn how to make it fun and special for children and also for teens. So the question is that we want to discuss first is how can we help children learn to celebrate the Sabbath with thought to family tradition? Okay, 8 minutes, and then we'll have a 2-minute report from each reporter. Ellis. All right, Ellis Merritt is going to give us the summary of this group. 2 minutes.
Stand up, Ellis.
He could come up here.
Come on up.
There's a rover here, Ella.
Well, we got like 6 points how to make the Sabbath more special for your children. We should include the children more special time for the Sabbath instead of just putting them aside and listening to the sermon and more grown-ups getting more out of this than the children are. Including Bible games was brought up. More special time with the children. Just spending more time, basically. Like Garden Grove has been doing a Sabbath school where the children don't have to sit in church for 2 hours and they can go to school and with their friends and they can learn that way. We have Christian music was brought up. Play more Christian music. And then we have special treats and foods for the children. That's about it.
All right. Thank you, Ellis. Okay, who's our next speaker? Who's our next reporter? Would you please come up? I liked Ellis's point about not setting our children aside, but including them.
I'm Cheryl Nakashima, if anybody doesn't know. I'm representing a very nice group that we were all getting to know one another there. Most of the comments that we came up with were similar to what the first group did. We came up with an idea that either having a special meal, either breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that the family always tries to get together and make sure that special meals, making it something special about that particular meal. Another thing is that they suggested that when you do have a Bible study, you consider the age group of your children, that the Bible study should be relevant to what they're dealing with in their life, and that they have an ability to get a connection of why you're talking to this about, you know. And also games, and they had different suggestions of games, some like Monopoly, others Bible games, 20 questions, and then we also had the suggestion of the videos, which there are a large selection out there now, which we didn't, I have to admit, we should be very thankful at this time. There is more out there than when many of us first started with our children. So we really should be very thankful for that. Some of our comments were that you should always try to make the home the foundational place, and that the children always know that it is the place to come back to for warmth, love, and eventually the deep, important questions of the times. And also, make sure that when you do give gifts, that maybe they be on the Sabbath or the holy days. They make them special, and they'll remember them. I will reflect back with my children, and on the Feast of Tabernacles, I would buy inexpensive gifts. And every morning on the we had services every day, they'd have it on their plate when they came down, and they were just so excited to get down there to have breakfast. Yeah. So, and then I think another important thing that we came up with, ask the children. Look to them to see what they have on that. Maybe they have some wonderful ideas themselves. So use their minds to help it make better for them. And those are the ideas we came up with, and thank you.
Thank you. What a concept. Ask the kids what they'd like to do. What an amazing. I went to a teamwork lecture in Chicago last year, and the director said that if you were teaching a Sunday school class and you wanted to have a pizza party for them, you should get together your assistant instructor, a couple of parents, and a couple of 10-year-olds and form a team so that they could all participate in deciding what to do. And he made the point that if you do that, you're more likely to come up with an activity that the 10-year-olds will like. Simple idea. Okay, who's our next reporter? Okay, Bert.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Bert Sampson. It's like Bart Simpson, but one just shifts the vowels. All right? All right. What we had for our group were a lot of very similar things to what everyone else had, but we also had some very distinct things, some things that we came up with that were very good. And the whole idea is to make the Sabbath day distinct, special. We want to set it apart in a way that the child will look forward to. Because there's a lot of even Sabbath activities I know I went through that we were forced to participate in, and it became a matter of rote, and I didn't like them. And so the day became sometimes a drag, but what we want to do is have things to look forward to. And we came up with this special Friday dinner. We went the whole family involved, not just the mom there in the kitchen slaving away, preparing whatever food, but the whole family needs to get involved as a time of togetherness. It's to make it special and something to enjoy. The idea was come up, it was raised that we might go out to a restaurant of some sort and enjoy the meal there so that the preparation isn't as difficult. But others said that it was also very good to remember that the home is very special and that in a restaurant one loses something there. We also had the restaurant of one's choice. One idea that was really good was the Bible-themed movies that the children would not be allowed to watch during the rest of the week. And so they'd have to set it aside for the Sabbath, because they couldn't do it the rest of the week. They'd have to do it on the Sabbath. And that made the child specifically choose the movie in advance that they were going to watch instead of having to watch it during the rest of the week with their friends or in a different context. It makes the Sabbath special. It puts the Sabbath apart in a different way. And then we also suggested going to the park or the picnic, something to get away from the church environment, because for a child, the church environment can be a bit stuffy. It can be a bit difficult, crowded. It's not as enjoyable because there's less flexibility and freedom. And that's why the Sabbath school is so good, because I think it really gives the hands-on participation that we're looking for, whether we're acting out something in the Sabbath school or whether we're having some sort of instruction that's participatory. And that's really good for the child, and we suggested that it would be during the sermon time, because I guess the sermon is shorter, and plus there's a lot of participation already within the song service, and we allocate the sermon time to the Sabbath school. And one thing that we came up with that was really unique for most groups, I think, is that we suggested, remember, singing and dancing. It's very important, I guess, but I guess it's often overlooked that the family, as in the Jewish tradition, has a lot of singing and dancing, and the Jewish church has a lot of traditions that we don't have, and that does help perpetuate the Sabbath for those traditions. And singing and dancing can be, especially if it's in a family context, make something unique, but yet special and enjoyable that other people just don't have. Because if we're just like the rest of the world and doing what everybody else does, then the Sabbath will quickly dissipate and go away. But if we have something distinct, like singing and dancing, I think it becomes very special, because we want to make the whole day special and not just a short hour or two, as everyone else in these symposiums have been mentioning. So that's what our group came up with, and I think that we have all come up with a lot of really good points that can be very helpful to us in helping our children keep the Sabbath day special and holy.
Thanks, Bert. Okay, that was just the warm-up question. Now we get to the tough stuff and introduce the next question then, Mr. Scott Merritt.
All right, our next question. Oh, before we do the next question, we're going to go ahead and choose other reporters so somebody else gets a chance to go up there. So on the count of three, everybody. On the count of three, everybody just point to somebody else, other than, Ellis, Bart, and Nakashima. So one, two, three.
Jim, you want? I have some papers.
Okay, our next question is about differing Sabbath needs, and Jacobs told me about Dr. Bakayoki's book, The Sabbath in the New Testament, how they talk about how for parents and children it's different. The Sabbath, they look at the Sabbath differently. For adults, it tends to be something, you know, you work the 6 days and you go to work and you're tired, and the Sabbath is kind of a time you want to relax and enjoy it. And for teenagers and for kids, you're trapped in school for 5 days, and now this is the time you want to go out and party, you know. And so the question is, how can parents accommodate what the children, the teenage children and the younger ones want to do on the Sabbath? How can they come to the compromises? And how can the teens accommodate what the parents want to do on the Sabbath? So you can go ahead and discuss it and see what you come up with.
Time's up.
Okay, do we have a reporter from this group?
Hi, I'm Jim Lara, and I was appointed. Seems like they're picking on the younger guys on our group. But the first point that they made was you program what's important to offset the outside pressure, like have programs like YOU to be able to offset the pressures of school sports and having other friends that are involved with certain groups. And the church actually becomes a support group for the teenagers instead of school and other activities outside of church. So being able to have groups or activities that really help the children to bond, to be together, and be able to do things like that. The second point was don't cut them off from socializing. And I thought this was an excellent point. They talked about having friends over at the Sabbath with at your home with your child, and let them to have friends that can perhaps spend the Sabbath with them, spend the night. Don't cut them off from socializing with their friends just because it's a Sabbath. Encourage them to build friendships within the church, build friendships with those who believe like they do. And, you know, just don't cut them off that way in the Sabbath. It's only family time, but encourage their socializing. The third point was let the church become a center of activity. And this was brought up with the Sabbath school program. Making the church more than just a place to go sit down, you know, listen to a sermon, sing some songs, but make it more of a center of activity to be able to do things that the kids like, things that encourage them to be a part of the service, to make it fun for them, to give them things to do that they like, and in that way they would want to continue to participate with the Sabbath. The fourth point was the parent could become a servant to the child in a way that, like Mrs. Zucker was mentioning, if you're blessed to have a father or mother in the home, one parent would be able to take care of the child during the Sabbath while the other one had time alone. Maybe take them to the park, maybe take them out and play with them while one parent was able to spend time, the time that they need alone on the Sabbath, and maybe switch off that way and be able to free up time for the parent, as well as build a bond between the parent and the child, and just serving them in a way that you're devoting time to them and their needs, not necessarily focusing the Sabbath all on yourself. The fifth point was make the children a part of the service. And I think we do this in Garden Grove, where we do have the teenagers as ushering, handing out song books, things like that, that make them a part of the church, an integral part of the body, the functioning of the church, and not just there to be there and get bored, basically. That was our 5 points. So thank you.
Okay, we have a group reporter from the second group. And we want to try to keep the reports pretty short because we're running short of time, so try to keep it around 2 minutes or so.
2 minutes.
Maybe 3 minutes.
30 years of club, I got to do 2 minutes. One of the things that we brought up or that we were discussing was that having kids over to the house and not just necessarily letting your kids have someone from the church, but like my girls would often have someone from the local neighborhood that they knew or a friend from school or something. They all know what we believe. My kids tell them openly, and all of our kids are actually pretty open with their friends. Their friends know what we believe. And if you have something interesting going on at church, often they'll invite them when we're going to have a youth Bible study or something at church. The other kids have a good time, too. Have a get-together home. In other words, like someone would have designated each week or say every few weeks, have a home where all the kids can go to. In other words, all the teens would meet over at someone's house. There would be soda pop and pretzels or whatever, and let them just socialize and have a good time and give them a place they can meet. Camping out is always good. Everybody enjoys a camp out. One thing was mentioned that I thought was really good was providing something for your kids when you're doing Bible study. You know, often we'll go off by ourselves, we'll sit down with our Bible, and we'll do several hours of Bible study on the Sabbath because it's an opportune time. What do you provide for your kids to do while you're doing Bible study? Do you have some kind of a video they can watch or something that's a Bible video, or do you have some kind of a Bible game that you set aside, something to occupy their time too? One of the things that was mentioned to keep in mind is when you're trying to plan something for teenagers, don't make it too structured. In other words, if your house is the house that all the kids are coming over, say, well, the food's here, there's games in the closet, behave yourselves, and give them some room. Let them do what they want to do. Don't say, well, at 9 o'clock we're going to do this, at 10 o'clock we're going to do that, at 11 o'clock we're going to do this. Let them kind of free flow themselves and run it themselves. Those are the basic things that we came up with.
Hello, I'm Hector Roybal, and we had quite a bit of controversy and debate in our group regarding this topic, and we couldn't seem to come to a consensus. I think we focused on the issue that the needs of teenagers are vastly different than the needs of small children, and the small children are easily distracted either by cookies or videos and so forth, games and dancing and the rest of it, but that older children have different needs. And as they get older, they find that, the parents find that there's more compromise that needs to be inherent within the relationship rather than having a restrictive environment. And that was the debate. How far do you have this compromise go in allowing the kids to do whatever they want and still be within the guidelines that the parents want to establish for appropriate Sabbath keeping and so forth? And so a couple of things that we came up with is general principles, not really any clear guidelines. One was, first, the parents have to set a good example, and they have to have a good relationship with the kids to make sure that they understand exactly what the needs of the kids are, not being able to constantly put their values and what they want to do on the kids directly. Because most of the activities that are occurring within the school environment with these kids occur on Friday nights. It's always going to be a struggle for these kids when in the week they're restricted on doing what they want to do, and then on Friday nights when all these it's a free time and they have a chance to go out and so forth, they're not allowed to do anything. One of the suggestions that was mentioned was that to allow the kids more freedom during the week, so that when Friday night comes, they're starved for what they've been wanting to do all week, that they have the opportunity to go out and participate in some school activities and so forth during the week, so that when Friday night comes along, they don't feel that this is their only opportunity to go out and do something. One of the issues that brought up the most controversy within our group was the issue of when do you begin to allow your children to make their own decisions. We've debated between not letting them do anything until they're 26, and you know, and keeping them home basically tied in chains, And the other was actually beginning to let them make mistakes and beginning to allow them to make a decision about what they're going to do so that they begin to feel like they're participating because they were in the decision about how they should keep the Sabbath as well. Because by the time they're 17, 18, 19, they say, well, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to do whatever I want, however I want. And so this is probably the most difficult one in terms of the compromise, but it was probably the one that is the most helpful in terms of allowing the kid to begin to take responsibility for what he's doing as well and feel like he's participating in the actual keeping of the Sabbath. So that was, those are our 3 points.
We have one more set of questions, and Vanessa Skidmore is going to be the mediator.
Okay. This next question is how to help children and teens resolve Sabbath problems. And I find this to be really hard because, like a lot of you were saying, you know, a lot of activities are on Friday night. Like, there are some dances on Friday nights, and there's sports especially. You can't play sports for school because everyone has games on Friday night and Saturday during the day, so you can't. And it's hard not to play sports because especially if you like one kind of sport. And another things that you run into, parties are on Friday nights, mostly, hardly ever on Saturday nights. And I think it's hard because I know with my parents, it's hard for them, you know, to see, well, is it right for her to go or not? And some things, like, they don't know what they should let me do and what they shouldn't let me do. So those are just some things that you guys can think about. You guys can go ahead and discuss it, but before you do that, you want to point to another person you think should be a reporter so another person can get a chance, okay? Okay, wait, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And I'll repeat the question. It's how to help children and teens resolve Sabbath problems. Now what we want to do is we want to start with that group back there. They're not done yet. Time's up. Sorry. You guys can come on up, the reporter from that group.
Okay, hi, I'm Larry Roybal. I'm a minister in Mexico. There's lots of controversy in that group over there. I don't know. It's basically a problem. You see, it's I'm the legalistic one here. I believe if you can't compromise with God and you can't compromise with God's laws, and if you want to teach your children and you want to teach your teens something, you have to tell them straightforward what God says and not let them in the car, not let them do what they want to do. My group, not everybody agrees with what I'm saying, but that's my personal point of view. Some in the group say you have to compromise. You have to let them go out and do things and go to dances once in a while and you have to compromise. I basically don't agree with that, because I don't see God compromising with his law. But I think one of the solutions, and we're talking about what options do we have, it ties in with the second option that we had in the second discussion. You have to give kids better options. You have to have things going on in the church. You have to have things going on at the home. You have to have things going on in their lives with the family. And kids feel, look, my family is exciting. I don't want to go out here. I don't want to go out there. There's enough things happening at home. It's exciting. There's friends at home. They can invite friends over. I mean, if they want to have a dance, we can have a Sabbath dance with the family and the grandma and the grandpa. You know, it would be exciting. I know it gets difficult, but if you're straightforward with your kids and say, look, this is the law. You can't do this. And this is what the family values. This is what this family upholds. I think I read that in one of Mr. Jacobs' articles. This is what the family believes. Or that was Mr. Weber, I think, in a sermon. This is what the family believes. This family doesn't believe in having earrings and long hair. This is the values that this family upholds. So if you're clear with that since they're young and when they're teenagers, then you don't have to be working either do we compromise or we do not compromise. Can you go out to dances or can you not go out to dances? So that's my own personal opinion. I think that sometimes we do have to compromise, but not with God's law. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, can I ask you something? Do you
Yes.
have teenagers?
I have two little girls, and I work with a lot of teenagers. No, I don't have teenagers. No. Okay.
I know it's difficult. When your girls will grow up, you'll have to. It'll be hard.
I know.
I don't mean to put any of the parents down, because I know how hard it is to be a parent, especially to teach your children the right thing. No, I'm not a parent, but.
Are you a parent?
No. I'm very close with my parents, and I discuss a lot of things with my parents, and I know that it's hard, but with the sports and stuff, if I know that if you have sports in the church, you know, and you get involved in that, then that'll take away from the sports. But the dance part and stuff, that's one thing that's hard to take away.
Okay.
But thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I think that we probably, our group, like, sort of would disagree with him, because we found that they'd probably, like, come to resent it after a while, and that you ought to give your children, like, a choice and let them make mistakes, but they will learn, like, sooner or later about the Sabbath. And parents, they sort of say no out of fear. They don't really understand, like, you have to tell them yes or no based on, like, consequences and the actual, like, gravity of which it is. You can't say no, go to a dance, or you know what I mean, because it's not really that important in the long run. And the second point is, like, to provide alternatives to sports and dances, because the kids just, like, want to get involved with something. And the third point is that the kids have to ask first. That some kids, they just immediately think that their parents would say, like, no, because it's on the Sabbath. And then they, like, regret the decision later. But you have to ask first. And that's about it. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chuck Zimmerman. We're the first group here. Our survey came about in a random order. I've put it into what I think is a timeline order, considering the youth's advancement through years. The problem is dual, because sometimes we're working with people that are not young people that are new to the congregation who are now teenagers. Other times we're talking about very young people. And that's why I think the timeline is important. First of all, we realize that we need to teach what God's Word says about the Sabbath.
Yeah, that's okay.
Teach the kids what God's way does say about the Sabbath and realize that that starts long before the teenage years occur. And we must set a foundation when at all possible. Teach then, the second point, values, and educate young people on principles. And as they grow older, continue this. Do not think that that now stops at a particular time in life. Continue to instill godly principles in all times of life. Is this worth it? And in the beginning, God said.
Okay, I guess we don't really have time for anything else. I'd just like to call Scott up to close it up. Thank you, everyone, for your opinions, and I really think that I hope everyone really learned a lot today. But here's Scott.
We just want to close by just giving you some things to think about. We want you to go away making sure you remember a lot of this and think about a lot of this. We had a couple other questions that we wanted to ask, but you know we didn't have time. One of them was how do you make teens internalize the Sabbath and keep it to be their own thing? You know, so when they get older, they don't go away. So if you just kind of discuss this as you go, and when you're over lunch, and I'd be happy to, me and Vanessa and Mr. Jacobs would be happy to talk to you. So thank you very much, and hope there wasn't too much controversy in some of the groups. So thank you.